This is Fresh Air. You know, it used to be an annual TV tradition, the fall season, when the broadcast networks would unveil their new and returning series to great fanfare and large audiences. Well, our TV critic David Bianculli says all that has changed with the advent of cable and now streaming networks, and with good reason.
You may not have even noticed, but the broadcast fall season finally is underway, a little later than it used to roll out, and with a lot less impact. The basic reason for this is that the corporations owning the broadcast TV networks also own streaming services. CBS has Paramount Plus, ABC has Disney Plus, NBC has Peacock, and they're putting their best programming eggs into those baskets. Just like in the late 1940s, the owners of NBC and CBS Radio put their money and talent and energy into this new thing called television. So what's left to watch on broadcast TV this year? Not much. In primetime, I still watch 60 Minutes on CBS, and I like Abbott Elementary on ABC. But this season, the networks are serving up a lot of sequels and retreads. CBS has Kathy Bates in a new show that uses the title of the old Matlock series, but not much else. CBS also has yet another spinoff from its NCIS franchise, while ABC has a sexier Love Boat-type series called Dr. Odyssey. And CBS also has a spinoff from the sitcom Young Sheldon, which itself was a spinoff of The Big Bang Theory. It's an odd type of TV evolution. Big Bang was filmed multi-camera in front of a studio audience, Young Sheldon wasn't, and the newest spinoff, Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage, is. And it even opened with Georgie and his family watching an old multi-camera sitcom on TV, an old episode of Frasier, with Georgie, played by Montana Jordan, noting the laugh track from the Frasier studio audience.
In order to prevent spillage, one does not simply twist out the cork.
Frasier's a laughing show. I like laughing shows.
What are you talking about?
Well, some shows you can hear people laughing and some you can't. Wonder Years. No one's laughing. Is it funny? We'll never know.
So many of these new series are like cafeteria casseroles. They're aggressively and intentionally bland and designed to be instantly accepted rather than being spicy, exotic, or unsettling. Late-night broadcast TV, on the other hand, is going just as intentionally in the opposite direction. Political humor has been a late-night staple for decades, but there's more of an edge now, and more time given for context. On Saturday Night Live, during Weekend Update, Colin Jost poked fun at Donald Trump's behavior at a recent rally, but actually showed more of that rally than on any news channel I watched, making the eventual punchline even more biting.
But then this week, Trump did strike a positive tone when he stopped questions at a town hall to just dance for 40 minutes. Please enjoy these somehow 100% real clips.
This is a man, well.
Hallelujah.
Special. Like, really special. And you can find all those incredible songs on Now That's What I Call Dementia.
And Seth Meyers, in his opening monologue on a recent edition of his late-night show, mocked Trump's behavior at yet another rally. But Meyers did so with a punchline that was so unexpected and so dark, you could hear it reflected in the reaction from his studio audience.
That's right. Former President Trump held a rally over the weekend in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and suggested the golf legend Arnold Palmer was well endowed. Well, still not as bad as that rally where he suggested that Mike Pence might be hung. It does work.
Late night, not prime time, is where broadcast TV is thriving these days. Even if most people watch those shows afterward in small clips on streaming services or social media. But I did find at least one absolute delight on primetime broadcast TV. It was on the season premiere of Fox's The Simpsons, which decided to open its 36th season by presenting its series finale. It wasn't the finale for real, but it was really, really funny.
It's The Simpsons series finale! And now, your host for tonight, Conan O'Brien!
Thank you. Yes, thank you. It's such an honor to be with you all for the series finale of The Simpsons. I knew I was the right man for the job because I've hosted the last episode of three of my own shows, and counting.
The episode used the excuse of a fake finale to aim at lots of tasty targets. Not only the long history of The Simpsons, but other TV finales, and even a very current concern among Hollywood writers. The setup was lengthy, but worth every second of it.
The time has come to finally end The Simpsons. But how? The bar had been raised so high by the classic finales of Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and The Sopranos, and lowered by the legacy-ruining farewells of Seinfeld, Lost, and The Sopranos. The producers racked their brains to create a finale that would satisfy the show's many fans and many, many haters. Then they came up with the perfect plan. Foist the job onto somebody else. Meet that somebody else. I give you the latest in machine learning, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT. This cutting-edge breakthrough in plagiarism has been programmed to write, animate, and voice the perfect finale for The Simpsons. One that wraps up the characters' storylines in emotionally satisfying ways, but won't damage the most important legacy of the show. The 2026 grand opening of Homer Simpson's claim-jumping, Yukon-rumbling, rock and roller coaster at Disneyland Shanghai. To create the ultimate finale, the AI has been fed every Simpsons episode and the last episode of every television series ever made. ChatGPT is now performing billions of computations to create the perfect story. Who knows how long this process will...
Finale complete.
Oh, well, that was really quick. Well, let's see what we got.
The Simpsons really entertained me when it premiered in 1989. And it still really entertains me in 2024. On broadcast TV, that's an absolute rarity.
David Bianculli is a professor of television studies at Rowan University. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krinzel, Teresa Madden, Monique Nazareth, Thea Challoner, Susan Nyakundi, and Anna Bauman. Our digital media producers are Molly C.V. Nesper and Sabrina Siewert. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. With Terry Gross, I'm Tanya Mosley.